The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, take your Bible again. Look at Jonah chapter number 3. Jonah chapter number 3, as we're going to look, I want you to look over to Jonah chapter number 1. We're going to look at the story of Jonah. We're going to see some things about Jonah. And as we go into this sermon tonight, it's going to start more of just kind of a teaching, and then it'll get more into a preaching, I guess. And I just want to show you some things about Jonah's life. We're going to get to the point of God's divine purpose, but I want to build the situation here, or build the sermon to that point, and kind of point out some things about Jonah. And we all know the story of Jonah. We've heard the story of Jonah. And I think every young boy and every young girl loves the story of Jonah. It's not so much because Jonah got right. It's the fact that he got swallowed by a whale. That's what they like. And so we're going to look at some things about Jonah here. In Jonah chapter number 1, we find here in verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." No, let's notice a few things about these verses in verse 1 and 2. First thing I want you to notice is that God felt comfortable coming to Jonah to ask him to do something for him. You know, it's a blessing when you have someone that is over you to come to you and believes in you and trusts in you to ask you to do something for them. Amen? And so as we think about Jonah here, it says here that God came to him and said unto him, "Arise and go to Nineveh." You know, God came to him very confident that Jonah would do what God asked him to do. I believe the reason that God felt that way is that because Jonah had a life of obedience. Jonah did that which was right. I believe that God had came to Jonah many times and asked Jonah to do certain things. "Hey, Jonah, I want you to go over here and preach over here." And he would go over there. I believe that he asked Jonah to do this and he did that. I believe that whatever God had asked of Jonah, Jonah obeyed the Lord. So he had confidence and he was comfortable in coming to Jonah to ask him to do something for him. Can I say tonight that God ought to be comfortable to come to you and ask you to do something for him? Hey, we ought to hunger for God to tell us to do something. We ought to desire to say, "Lord, what is the next command? God, what would you have me to do? I want to obey you." And again, I believe that Jonah was that kind of Christian that obeyed God, and God felt that if I could get anybody to go to Nineveh, I could get Jonah to go to Nineveh. And so God came to him and he said, "Jonah," he says, "I need you to go preach in Nineveh." I believe that Jonah up to this point had a good relationship. He was in practice with obedience to the Lord. God had a plan for Jonah's life, and part of that plan was to go to Nineveh and to preach against the wickedness of that city. See, Nineveh was a very wicked city. Nineveh was a place where Christians did not go. It was a place where they tortured Christians. It was a place where they hated Christians. And so here we find that God said, "Jonah, I want you to go there." And when God called him, he believed that Jonah would obey. When God speaks to us about a decision he wants us to make, we can mark it down. He isn't planning on changing his mind. If God told you, by the way, you young men, if God called you to preach, God did not change his mind. You might change your mind, but God doesn't. God says, from the beginning, when I called you to preach, that was the plan all along. And it's your job to obey God's command. Hey, when God called you to live holy, that's God's command.
God said, hey, I don't change my mind. He said, that's what I want. When God called you to be a witness, that's his command. When God called you to read the word of God, that is his command. When God called you and commanded you to pray, hey, he says, I'm not changing my mind. I'm not changing my plan. He says, that's the plan for you. That's your plan that I've given to you. As we think about here, he came to Jonah. And he said, Jonah, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose for your life. And that purpose and that plan for your life, Jonah, at this moment, is to go to Nineveh, that great city, and to cry against their wickedness. That's my plan for you, Jonah. You know, folks, tonight, it's not your plan that matters. It's God's plan. And God has a plan for every single one of you. And I'm jumping ahead here, but let me just say this here. You're never going to be happy till you get on God's plan. Amen? Your plan ain't going to work. If that's not good English, forgive me, you English teachers out there. But your plan ain't going to work. God's plan is the only plan that works. You have to work his plan. You got to do it his way. As I think about this here, when God speaks to you to do something for him, he has no desire to change those plans. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Hey, we're not to change this. God says, I called you to do it. Hey, there's no changing mind here. That word repent means to change. God says, if I called you to do this, these things I've asked you to do, he says, I'm not planning on changing it. Well, you know, yeah, we used to believe in soul winning, but we just don't believe that anymore. There's some churches that are called independent Baptist churches, don't even go soul winning anymore. There are Christians in churches today that they've gotten away from door-to-door soul winning, knocking on doors, giving the gospel. They got away from that. But I'm going to tell you, God's plan is still the same. His plan is for you to go out and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's his plan, and his plan never changes. For the gifts of God, gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I see in verse number 3, we find here it says, the Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. It's funny how Jonah was running from God thinking he could get away from God. You know, it's kind of like my granddaughter, Natalie. And we were playing hide and seek, or she doesn't want you to find her. She does this. And when she does this, she thinks you can't see her because she thinks if I can't see you, you can't see me. And, you know, a lot of times we're doing this with God. Well, I'm just going to pretend that God's not there and I'm just going to do what I want to do. But God says, I can see you. You know, in the darkest of the night, and for God, it's like daylight. It's like it's the middle of the day for him. He sees everything you do. He sees what you do. But Jonah, he fled from the presence of the Lord and went down the Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, isn't it sad that Jonah was wanting to leave the presence of the Lord? You know, the greatest place to be is in the presence of the Lord. And you know, and it's a fact that whenever you don't obey God and you walk away from God, you're walking away from his presence. You're walking away from the things that God has for you. The first two words we find in verse 3, it says, but Jonah. You know, here we find in verse 3 are the two saddest words in the scripture. But Jonah said here, he said, it says, but Jonah rose up to flee. It's sad that he has played out over and over again this thing of disobedience. You know, as a Christian, if you're not careful, you can be a Jonah where God says, this is what I want you to do. Hey, young man, this is what I want you to do. Hey, young lady, this is what I have planned for you. Hey, couple, this is what I need you to do. Hey, church, this is what I need you to do. But the next thing is said of you is, but they did this. But so-and-so did this. Would your name be put in there to say that you did opposite? Here, God says, go here. But Jonah went there. God says, I need you to go soul winning. But he went the other way. Hey, I need you to do this. But he chose to do something different. We find Jonah disobeyed God. Jonah made a decision to flee. He wanted no part in obeying God's command. He ran from God's presence. He was running from the joy that God had for him. Hey, folks, I want you to get this tonight. Jonah, God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I'm going to go with you. By the way, wherever God calls, he leads. Amen. God says, you tell the children of Israel, stand still. And he says, I'm going to part the Red Sea. And when I part the Red Sea, then they go forward. The Bible says they followed God in the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He was with them. He led them. Whenever God calls you to do something for him, to serve him, to live for him, whatever the calling that God puts in your life, can I say that he is leading in that calling? But if you run from the call of God, if you go opposite of the call of God, can I say that you are leaving the presence of God? You say, Brother Butler, what does it matter if I leave the presence of God? You say, Brother Butler, I mean, if I don't obey God, if I don't do what God said, God called me to preach, okay, I'll admit it, but I don't want to do it. Hey, God called me to do this. I know it's right to go soul winning, but I'm just not going to do it. I know it's right to give the tithe, but I'm not going to do it. God called me to do that, but I'm not going to do it. So what's the big deal, Brother Butler? So I leave the presence of God. What's so big about that? Well, can I read you a verse? The Bible says in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. Oh, how I love computers with big print. Amen. It's a blessing. It's really not big enough. It's still a little blurry. The Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. You know, God has a path for you. Hey, there is a path that God has for your life, a path for every single one. Hey, you know, God has a path for those babies in the nursery over there. God has a path for those toddlers over there. Hey, God has a path for every child in this room. God has a path for every teenager that's in here. God has a path for every adult that's in here. God has a path for every couple that's in here. God has a path for this church. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. The Bible says that there is a way of death. You know, the Bible says there's a broad road that leads, to death. There's a narrow road that leads to life. There are few that find it. But there's a broad road, and many go thereat. Hey, you know, God has a path. But notice what it says here. Psalms 16, verse 11. It says here, thou wilt show me the path of life. Oh, wow, I tell you, if we could get this, if we could figure out the path of life for us, what God has for us, watch what happens. You say, Brother Butler, what if I walk away from God? What if I don't do what I know he wants me to do? Well, then you walk away from his presence. So what if I walk away from his presence? Here it is. I love it. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Did you get it? In thy presence is fullness of joy. Well, you know, I'm just miserable, just having a tough time, not happy. Every day is a bad day. I'm just a miserable person. I tell you what, life is hard. I'm just so depressed, so down all the time. Well, can I tell you the reason you're depressed and down all the time? Because you left the presence of God. And when you left the presence of God, you've left the fullness of joy. Amen. Hey, Brother Craig, there's fullness and joy in the presence of God. Hey, you want that joy that you see others have? Well, they just seem so joyful all the time. They seem like they have peace. They seem so happy. I wish I had that. Maybe if I could just buy a new car, I would get that. Maybe if I go down to Six Flags with Brother Kenny and ride a roller coaster, I'll get that. Now, it's exciting for a little bit. By the way, I rode that ride. What is that ride, that one that goes like this and goes like, what is it, the Riddler? Boy, I tell you, I turned green, all right? When I got done there, I was like, I just need to find a place to sit. I was done for the day. I should never, they should say anybody 40 or older should not ride this ride. They say if you're pregnant, heart trouble, they should say 40 too, because I tell you what, I got sick on that ride. But you know, the thing is, We can go to Six Flags and try to find joy, and there's joy for a moment. I tell you what, when you go on vacation, but you got to come back from vacation, and it's over quick. I tell you what, it's like, oh, back to work. You know, spring break, back to school, oh. But how do you have that balance of joy? How do you have that steadiness of joy where all the time, Brother Yao, you just have it? I mean, kind of like Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they sang in the prison house and they had fullness of joy. I mean, how do you get that? Well, the Bible says here, it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. How do we get that? Well, don't do what Jonah did. The Bible says, see, Jonah, he disobeyed God. He ran the other way. He didn't do what God said. Well, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do it my way. I think my way makes more sense. I'm going to go ahead and just go this direction. God says, that's not the direction I called you. Hey, I'm just going to do this thing. God says, that's not what I called you to do. Well, it just makes sense to me. You know, really, whatever we think is sense up here really doesn't make any sense with God. God says, don't try to figure it out here. He says, that's why I gave you the word of God. Everything you need in life for every direction and every decision is written in the Word of God. And God says the answers are there, but if you don't have the answers, it's because you don't get it from the Word of God. And so here Jonah, it says he ran from the presence of the Lord. And you know what happened when he ran from the presence of the Lord? All the time that he was gone, Sean, you know what? He was miserable. He was unhappy. He knew exactly the problem in his life. He knew he was running from God. He knew, and everything, you know, they say everything you touch turns into gold. Everything he touched, I mean, it got sour. It got bad. It was not good. And so here we find that Jonah ran from God, and when he did, he ran away from the fullness of joy. See, rich people can't buy joy. Hey, folks, whether you be rich, whether you be poor, if you don't walk close to God, if you don't obey the things of God, if you don't do what's right, you know what's right? Can I tell you what's right? We know this, be in church. You know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembly. Well, I just don't want to go to church. That's not right. Being in church is right. Now, I know some that have to miss church for work and other things, but I'm saying when you're just sitting at home and there's no reason that you're missing church, and you ought to be here. You ought to be in the house of God. You ought to be where God calls you to be. And I'm going to tell you folks tonight, it's when that offering plate goes by and you know in your pocket is the money of God and you're a thief and a robber. And you say, I'm just not going to give my tithe. I'm not going to do it because, I just can't afford to do it. I got to buy other things. God says, okay, then there goes the fullness of joy. You're just going to be a miserable thief. That's all you're going to be. You know what we ought to do? We ought to get right with God and say, God, I want to do what you commanded me to do. Lord, I want to be under the showers of blessing. I want God. I want you to give me the blessings. I want to have joy. Oh, I tell you, joy is better than material things. You know, I know some people that live in a little shack of a house and have joy. I know some people that don't have fancy things and have joy. I know people that have bad health and have joy. You say, well, if I just had good health, I would be happy. No, if you're not walking close to God, you'll still be miserable. If I could just get a better job, I would be happy. No, you'd just be miserable with a better job. It doesn't matter. The only way that we're going to be happy Christians and the only way that we're going to experience the joy of the Lord is to be in the presence of God. We find here that Jonah, he ran from the presence of God. You know, it's no wonder when we get away from God, there is no joy in our lives. You know, Christ is a centerpiece of joy. You ladies like putting that little centerpiece on the table. And for men, it's kind of in the way. That's one place you can't put food. It's like, get it off. That's where food goes, amen? But you know, God is that centerpiece. God ought to be the centerpiece of your life. And everything you do and everything, and with every breath that you speak, you ought to say, hey, glory to God. Hey, thank the Lord. Hey, God is good. My wife and I went on a date Friday night. And dates are good when you eat, amen? So we went out to a restaurant. And we sat in there. And I told my wife, I said, oh, I forgot my tracks. I need to go back and get some more tracks. The Lord's been convicting me about passing out tracks. I've been doing better at that. Not as good as I should, but better. I ran out, grabbed my tracks, came back in. And there was a couple there eating. And we started visiting with them.
And you know, it wasn't long that we're talking about the Lord and talking about serving God, and they were Christians too. And you know, it's a blessing serving the Lord. There is fullness of joy in the will of God. Amen. Right. You know, we sing songs like joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that never will depart. You know, that joy comes from the presence of God. Hey, we sing songs like joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can sing it, but I'm going to tell you, it's better to live it, amen? It's better to have that joy that's in your heart, not just to sing about someone else's joy. Man, I tell you what, it's discouraging when you're singing about joy knowing you don't have it and someone else does. It's a lot better when you have joy in your heart and you can sing with the joy of God in your heart. We sing the songs, I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Now, you don't want me to sing to you because I'm not a good singer. But I tell you what, that song is good. We ought to have joy in our heart. And I tell you again, where is joy? In the presence of the Lord. Look at verse number 4. We find, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship under the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. You know, folks, sometimes you get so discouraged and down, all you want to do is sleep. If I can just sleep, I'll forget everything. Hey, that's not the answer, because you will wake up again. And it's right there, amen? It's not going to leave. You know what? It's better to have the joy of the Lord in our heart, amen? It says here, the shipmasters came to him, said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we may perish not, we perish not. And they said one to this fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. Don't you hate it when you get caught? Amen. It's like, you caught me. Jonah was caught. Then say they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? You know, it's sad when a lost person looks to a Christian and wonders. You know, they hear it all the time, these pastors on the news that did some horrible thing, and people talk about it. Well, I just can't believe that pastor would have done that. You know, people, the world looks to us, and they expect more. And it's funny. They can live whatever, and you can't say anything. But you as a Christian, you got to live it. You're the hope. Whether you know it or not, whether they tell you or not. You know, your family. I have family that my wife and I, her family, when we go visit them, you know, they respect us. They respect what we believe. And, you know, they look to us. They look to us. Why? Because we're saved. Hey, we're different. They even know it. And there's been times where, it's funny how certain things will happen. And they'll say, oh, no, they won't do that because they're Christians. They wouldn't do that. You know, and that's a testimony that we need to have in our family. But our family's looking to us, and they find that there's hope in that when they can see that as a Christian, we're living for God. Here it says, they spoke to him, and they said, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They even knew you shouldn't have done that, Jonah. Man, if God told you to do that, you should have went. Man, what are you doing here? Look at the problems you caused. Even though the world doesn't acknowledge it, the world looks to us for hope. I'm going to tell you right now, we went to the park Thursday night, got to talk to some people, got to invite some people. And they say, oh yeah, that church over there, and they were talking about the church. You know what? This church here is the hope of this community. And we as a Christian need to stand. Look at verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempest. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. When's the last time we admitted our problems? You know, you can't fix a problem until you admit you have a problem.
When's the last time you said, you know, the reason, honestly, you know, you ought to go to preacher and say, preacher, the reason I'm miserable, to be honest, I had a man when I was pastoring the church, and he was mad at me. And something had happened. He got mad at me. He was a hot-tempered farmer. He owned a farm in New Mexico. And he was a pretty good-sized boy, man, big guy. I thought one time he was a grizzly, but I realized, no, he's a man. And his wife worked for me in the church as my financial secretary. And I found out that they were waiting for me at the church on a Monday, I think it was, Monday or Tuesday. I went over there. And what I had heard, now, you know how things kind of get around and sometimes you lose some things and, you know, as they go from person to person. But I had heard he was there to take care of me, kind of clean my plow or something like that. He was going to take care of business. He wanted a piece of me. And so, you know what? I walked over there and he was sitting there in the office there. He had his baseball cap on all the way down where you couldn't see his eyes, arms crossed, beat red. He was mad. His wife was sitting there at the desk. I walked in. My wife came over. I pushed her in front of me. I said, honey, I said, mate, poke him. See if he's alive. My wife said, I told my wife stay home because we live right there on the property. My wife's like, no, I'm going with you. I don't know if she wanted to go just to see action or she wanted to go to protect me. I'm not sure which one. But, you know, I got there and I went in the office. And I knew he was mad. He was livid. He wanted to clean my plow. He wanted to beat me up. And I didn't want him to beat me up. I didn't want anybody to beat me up. And I don't like fighting because it's painful. Amen. And I never enjoyed pain all my life. All right. And so I walk in the office there. He's sitting there. And I said, before we talk, I just knew this. I said, let's pray. I got real spiritual quick. Let's pray. And, you know, I prayed for him. I prayed for his wife. I prayed for their children, their grandchildren, their dogs. I named all their cows by name. I prayed that God would shower blessings on their farm, that God would just multiply their business, give them so much money they didn't know what to do with it. I did. I prayed for it seemed like eternity, but it was probably 5 minutes. But I prayed and prayed, and I kept peeking and seeing it. You know, but as I was praying, little by little, things started to change. He took his hat off, and all of a sudden, tears started coming down his face. And we were there, and then all of a sudden, he after we got done praying, he looked up, and he said, "Preacher," he says, "it's not you, it's me." I was like, glad you're admitting this because I didn't want you to beat me up. Then I was mad at him. Well, then we need to straighten this. No, I was just glad that we weren't going to fight. And I begged them to stay and they said, no, we still need to leave because of some things, but just understand it's not you, it's me. He says, I have bitterness towards my kids and some other things. It's me. You know what he did? He admitted it. And you know what? He got help. And you know what? That's the only way you're going to have fullness of joy is we got to admit our problem in order to fix it. It says here, verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord was prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, we go from Jonah running from God and hiding out on a boat, fleeing from the presence of the Lord, to now living inside the belly of a whale. He finally has come to the wit's end. He finally decides to obey God. After surrendering to God's command, God hears his prayer and causes the whale to vomit. God has a sense of humor. Vomit Jonah on dry land. Jonah quickly decides to obey God's voice and goes to Nineveh to preach against the sins of the city. Nineveh was a 3 days journey from where the fish vomited Jonah out. But the Bible said that it took him 1 day to get there. You know what? He didn't take time to clean himself up. He didn't take time to change his clothes or to comb his hair. He just said, I got one thing to do is obey God. You know, when God calls you to do something and when you get right with God, you know what? It just start obeying him. Don't worry about all the other, I got to plan it all. Just give me time. No, it's just get busy. If you know what you're supposed to be doing, just get busy doing it. Get busy serving God. You know, we find him that he took off and he made it in a day's journey. This would mean that Jonah didn't take time to do anything for himself, but rather he focused on what God called him to do. He got to Nineveh. He got in there and he preached. He said, in 40 days, God's going to destroy Nineveh. If you don't get right with God, he's going to kill you. He's going to destroy this place. You know, Jonah wanted God to do it. You know, it's almost like, you know, man, I get to bring judgment on you. He didn't like Nineveh. What we get from God's word is he hated Nineveh. He wanted God to destroy Nineveh. He said, get right with God. And he's thinking, I know you won't get right with God, but get right with God, and God's going to destroy you. You know, the king of Nineveh falls under conviction, and the people fall under conviction. There's a command that goes out to fast. And he cries, and they cry out to God for forgiveness. They shave their head. They put sackcloth and ashes. And they call out to God. And something great happened in Nineveh. A great revival breaks out. And God comes down, and he sees their heart that they turn back to him. And the Bible says that he forgives them. And he turns away the judgment that he was going to bring upon them. He said, I forgive you. And he says, I won't punish you now. He said, you've turned back to me. Hey, can I stop here and say this? No matter how far you are away from God, and I imagine in a room this size with this many people, there's someone here that is not right with God. Now, we all need to get closer to God, but you know what I'm talking about. There's someone here that you're living totally opposite of how you ought to be living. You know, it's sad. There are those that live wickedly that don't know any better. God says, you know, it's more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for these. You know, it's going to be more tolerable for those than for a Christian that once tasted the goodness of God, that once knew the things of God and walks away like Jonah and leaves the presence of God. God says, hey, that's not good. Nineveh turned back to God. And you would think Jonah would have been happy that Nineveh turned back to God. You would think Jonah would be happy that the answers were there. But we find that Jonah was angry that God spared the city. In chapter number 4, verse 1, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Oh, he was extremely unhappy. It says it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? What was his saying in his country? When God called him to go to Nineveh, this is what he told God. I get it from this verse. He said, wasn't this my saying that if I go there, that if they do repent, Lord, you won't punish them? God, I want you to punish them. You know, do you ever have a hard time praying for your enemies? I mean, the Bible says we're not to wish evil on anyone. We're not to be happy when God punishes. Do you sometimes say, Lord, you got to get them. Lord, they've done me wrong. Lord, punish them. They're my enemy. You know, Jonah said, Lord, I don't want to go to Nineveh, because if I go there, there's a chance that they will listen and they'll turn to you, and that's not satisfying to me. You know what's satisfying is, Lord, when you bring some fire from heaven, just electrocute them. Man, I just love to go over there with a broom and sweep all the dust up after you're done, God. That's what I want. He was angry. And it says here that he said, I pray thee, O Lord, he says, was this not my saying when I was in my country? Therefore, I fled before the Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful. Have you ever hated someone so much that you didn't want God to even see them turn back to God? Oh, I tell you what, that's a sad place to be in life when you don't care about your enemy. You know, the Bible says, love our enemies. Bible says, love your enemies, pray for them. Hey, we ought to pray that our enemies turn back to God and our enemies start serving God again. He says, that's why I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. How did he know that? I imagine God's been gracious to him. Hey, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. Oh, he's saying, Lord, I know exactly who you are, and repentest thee of the evil. Lord, you will change your mind, and you will forgive people. But God, I don't want you forgiving them.
Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, feeling sorry for himself, my life from me, for it be better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? You know, many times we're not happy with God's results in our lives or the lives of others. Many times we're not happy with what happens. We try to do this, or we pray about that, or we say, okay, I'm just gonna serve God, and I'm gonna do all these things because I just know life's gonna get better, and it doesn't get better. I'm gonna do this, and I know God's gonna bless me with this, and he doesn't bless you with that. I'm gonna do this, and I know all this stuff will work out just how I thought it'd work out, and it doesn't work out the way you thought it'd work out. Jonah was not happy. The Bible says Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. And he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He was still hoping God would destroy it. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might shadow over his head to deliver him from the grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement heat, east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die again. And said, man, you're talking about a miserable person here. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Shouldest not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You know, when we think about this here, verse number 11 is the last verse of Jonah. That's all we are left with in Jonah's life is a question. The question, hey, Jonah, don't you care? Jonah never answered back. Last we know, Jonah left bitter. We must not forget, it's not what we think the result should be. See, Jonah said, okay, Lord, I don't want to go to Nineveh because I know you're going to spare that city, and that's not what I want. God says, okay, then I'm going to have to discipline you. I'm going to have to correct you because you are thinking you know what's best, and you don't know what's best. The best thing that you can do, Jonah, is obey me. Do what I tell you to do. So he fled God. He fled the presence of God. He was willing to leave the fullness of joy. He was willing to leave the blessings. He was willing to leave the goodness of God. So God disciplined him. God caused heartache in his life and heartache in others around him to the point that Jonah got thrown off the boat, swallowed by a whale, got right with God. But in his heart, I think he still thought, this is what's going to happen. I got it figured out. I'm going to run to Nineveh. I'm going to, in one day, because I want this judgment to come quicker. If it takes 3 days, that means it's going to be 42 days later. And I don't want it that long. I want God to destroy him quicker. So I got it all planned out. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to run to Nineveh. I'm going to preach, you wicked city. You're a bunch of wicked heathens. God's coming down to destroy you. So you better get ready because I know you won't turn back to God. But you know what? The results that, Brother Barker, that Jonah thought were going to happen, the ones that he wanted, the plans that he wanted, did not come the way he thought they would come. It's not what he planned. It's not what he ordered. It's not the thing that he wanted. But rather, what came to be is the opposite. God did exactly what Jonah said that he probably would do. You know, many times in our life, we serve God for certain reasons. You know, you'll find people all over this city that are not even in church anymore. And you ask them, why are you not in church? Well, I got hurt.
this happened, that happened. God wasn't fair. God didn't do this for me. I thought I would just serve God and live for God. I thought serving the Lord would be better. But when I started serving God, life got worse. It didn't get better. Okay? So everything you thought the Christian life was going to be, it's not exactly how you thought it would be. Okay? But isn't it more important to know that God's plan for your life has become what He wanted? That the results of your life, maybe it wasn't your results that came to be, the results that you wanted, but wouldn't you be happy to know that God's results were accomplished? You know, Paul got saved. Paul said, I want to serve God. I imagine Paul thought maybe that he would go preach and people would love him and things will go good. But you know, Paul didn't probably plan on suffering like he did. Now, if he would have got bitter at God with all the suffering, then he didn't accomplish God's plan. See, God's plan was for Paul to suffer and to be thrown in prison so he could stand before kings and be judged and be able to testify before kings. That was the plan of God. But Paul surrendered to the will of God. Lord, whatever you want. Paul said, I die daily. It's not my life. It's your life. I put my life in your hands. And Lord, you drive it wherever you want to drive it. And the end result is not what I want. But the end result is what you want. We must not forget it's not what we think the result should be, but rather the result that God wanted. Do you know, Jonah was not happy with the end result. But what he failed to recognize what Jonah failed to recognize is that God got the result he wanted. Wow. He didn't get the result he wanted, but God got the result he wanted. You know, in your life, as you serve God and things come your way that you don't like, problems come your way that you don't like, God, I didn't order this. I thought serving you, things would be better. I thought serving you, I wouldn't have all these problems. God says, okay, what results are you looking for? Your results or my results? Missionaries that go to mission field and suffer, we hear so many, and get thrown in prison. Preachers talking to these missionaries that they get thrown in prison, they cut their tongues out. Well, this is not what I wanted, God. God looks down and he says, but my son, that is the results I wanted. See, we don't understand it. We don't like it. It doesn't make any sense. You have situations happen in your life. You have a death in the family. You have illness, sickness. You lose your job. You have friends turn against you. You have situations happen that you don't like. But you're serving God. You're living for God. You're doing what's right. You say, I'm serving him. God says, then trust me, my results are working through you. They're my results. Just because you don't get the results you thought you would get. I just thought serving God, everything would be perfect. I hear people say that. I don't go to church anymore because when I started going to church, everything went bad. Okay? I wonder what God was trying to do. But you didn't let God work his results. Well, you know, serving the Lord, it just seems like nothing went good in my life. Well, maybe that was God's results? Maybe he wanted that? How do we make sure God's purpose for our life is accomplished? I tell you, when you get God's results, they're much better. You know, my results for my life would be lots of money, healthy, live a long life, car never break down, you know, kids that always do right, wife that loves me to the very end, all those things. But you know what? Sometimes life doesn't go the way you thought. But if you're serving God, oh, I tell you what, and you let him work through you, his purpose will be accomplished. How do you make sure of that? Number one, we must humble ourselves and acknowledge how God has been to us, how good God has been to us. We must humble ourselves and acknowledge how good God has been to us. You know, Jonah says, Lord, I knew that thou were a gracious God, full of mercy
and forgiving. You know how he knew that? Because he experienced it in his life. He felt that. He experienced it. He said, Lord, since you've been good to me, and I enjoyed it, but Lord, I don't want you to give that to them. Wait a minute. We must understand how good God's been. Jonah forgot how God rescued him out of trouble. Isn't it kind of funny how Jonah disobeyed God? So God put him in the belly of the whale, and he's suffering. He cries out to God, so God spares him. But right away, when there's a city that's not right with God, God's punishing the city. They get right with God, but God can't spare them. Jonah, that doesn't make any sense. You're forgetting God's goodness. The next time you can't forgive somebody for doing you wrong, why don't you remember God forgiving you? And how God forgave your sins. And how others that you did wrong forgave you. Let us be quick to forgive. Jonah forgot how God was good to him and rescued him. Jonah was not better than Nineveh. He wanted God to forgive him and restore him, but he didn't want God to do anything for Nineveh. Let me say number two, we must understand God's purpose for our lives will many times be different than what the purposes could have been. God's purpose in our life many times will be different than what the purposes would have been or what we thought they would have been. Isaiah 55 says, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith who? The Lord. Hey, God said, he says, your thoughts, mark it down, they're going to be different than mine. I mean, it's not going to work. If you think you got it all figured out, you don't. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In John chapter 4, verse 31, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, the disciples, one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said to him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, God's plan and purpose for your life might be totally opposite than what you thought. Well, I'm just planning on being a professional person, doing something in business. Well, is that God's plan and purpose or your plan and purpose? What is your plan and what is God's plan? My desire and your desire ought to be tonight is to say, God, I want to obey you. I want to be in the presence of joy. I want to know your plan. I want to know your purpose. Because God, if I figure out your purpose, it's going to be the best purpose for my life. Whether I see it or not, I know it's best. You know, a lot of times you do for your kids and they don't think it's best. You know, a lot of times you tell your kids, you know, you can't do this. You know, you have your five-year-old. Can I stay up to 3 a.m? No, you're going to bed. You know, can I eat a bucket of candy? No, you can't eat candy. One piece only. Well, why are you so mean to me? Hey, you know what? My purpose for you, whether you think it or not or understand it, it's better than your purpose. And someday you'll figure it out. Hey, number three, realize that all we are is a tool for God to use. A tool to do his will. Romans 12, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. The Bible says, if in Philippians 3, it says, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more, Paul said. And he goes on and gives all the reasons why he ought to be able to brag. But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. You know what? It's to do the will of God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Apostle Paul admitted and understood, I must die daily. It's not my will. It's not my purpose. It's not my plan. It's God's plan. Let me say, lastly, number four, we should always desire for God's purpose to be done in our life.
Jonah was not happy that God turned his anger away from Nineveh. He wanted God to destroy Nineveh. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. You know, God wants to do his good pleasure through you. You know, the only way God can do his good pleasure is using his people, his children. He wants to use us to do his good pleasure. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You know, there's no joy outside of the presence of God. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. You know, why don't we go ahead and mark it down that God's way is right? Let God be true and every man a liar. God's way is right. God's purposes are right. God's presence is holy. God's presence is fullness of joy. You have a decision tonight. To get angry at God because things didn't work out the way you thought they would work out because you're serving him, or to admit, I'm serving him, things aren't working out the way I thought they would, but God be the glory. God gets all the glory because it's working out for his glory. Oh, I tell you, there's been times in your life and mine where we thought, what good is coming out of my life? I mean, what difference am I making? I'm having all these problems serving the Lord. What difference? And later on you find out somebody is watching you. Later on you find out God is using you to help people. Then you realize, wow, God, now I know why you did that in my life. Why you brought this through me. Why you did this. You know, there's a man, I saw it on the computer one time, and this man has no legs. And he has no hands, no arms. He has stubs for legs. He's about this tall. And one leg has a little flipper on it. That's it. No arms. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, God, I thought my life was bad. To be born with no arms and these little legs, I mean, just stubs. And it was really just no legs. And then he had a little flipper on one leg. You know, he spent his life going around cheering up young people. They took him to public schools and he went in there. And he would talk to them about life and not giving up. And you know what he found? He found the purpose that God had for him. The purpose to encourage people. See, he could have laid in bed and miserable. Look at me. And why did this happen to me? This is not fair, God. Why you did this to me? But he took it out to the people and said, you know what? There's a purpose for my life. And I found it. To bring joy and happiness in your life. Those young people, hard public schools where these kids had hard attitudes, and you watch those teenagers weep, and they'll walk up and give them a hug as they walk out. You know, right there and then, he found that this is the purpose that God had for me. What purpose did God have for your life? Well, I thought it was to be happy all the time and have money and perfect health and nothing bad happening and everybody getting along with me. But it's the opposite, Brother Butler. Well, maybe that's the purpose God has for you. Now you got to let him work through that purpose. Trust him. Hey, Jonah, your purpose was for God to destroy the city. And you were mad when he did it. God's purpose was to restore the city. God says, I love them all. And God even said, I love the animals. I'm glad I didn't destroy it, Jonah. You ought to have been happy with my purpose because my purpose was accomplished. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.